AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0. Money 2.0. Now, helping you excel in business and in life, here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome. Welcome to Money 2.0 Business on the Edge. This show is brought to you by the Small Business Concierge Digital Magazine here in Silicon Valley. I always like to thank our listeners for tuning into the radio show tonight. We appreciate your listenership. We are broadcasting live from Silicon Valley Bay Area and around the world on AM 1220 KDOW iHeartRadio and our online streaming listeners. So if you're listening live there on your stream, thank you for tuning in. If you want to dial into tonight's radio show, you can dial in at 1-800-516-1220. That is 1-800-516-1220 and get your questions and comments on air with me tonight or any of our guests. We are midway through Black History Month, since it's the 19th and we only have 28 days in the month. And I've talked about several different pieces of history, either here on AM 1220 KDOW or my extended show on Blog Talk Radio, every single day, pretty much every single day. I've never done that before, and this is the first time since I've been on air. We're in our ninth season here that I've actually talked about some nugget of history, some piece of Black history. And I think it is important in this time that we are in. And so I've talked about Biddy Mason. You may have heard that show, Biddy Mason, in terms of the entrepreneurship and the ventures that she was able to accomplish in the 1800s. I like history. I like talking about where a story begins rather than I enjoy the successes. I enjoy the opportunities to applaud, but I also like to know where they came from. And I've talked about John Brown. John Brown, we have to, when we talk about Black history is really American history. And John Brown, we have our white counterparts who want to see the betterment of all people, all nations, all races. And John Brown and his sons played a major role. John Brown, if you're not sure who he is, an abolitionist against slavery back in the 1800s, gave his life. And so we have to recognize, I can't do Black history without recognizing that there's some heroes to this story, to this history, that are our white counterparts who helped us become a free nation in this country. And so I am proud to be able to talk about John Brown. And then we talked about Maggie Walker, the first Black banker in the United States, and woman banker in the 1800s. That is a story to tell in it. And that actually I talked about on Blog Talk Radio. And so you can go out there and download that show and listen. And so we're going to continue the conversation. And we're talking about Black enterprise. We're talking about access to capital. We're talking about creating opportunities and changing the game in terms of really leveling the playing field. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so unapologetically, there's nothing wrong with the success of the Black nation. And so I want to bring on Chris Horton. Chris Horton is part of the Northern California Small Business Development Center. If you are not familiar with the Small Business Development Center, that's all over the United States. You can check out americassbdc.com and you will learn a lot more at .com or .org. I'll clarify that for you in just a moment. I believe it's .com. Anyway, Chris Horton wholeheartedly is committed to community prosperity. Chris brings the values of diversity and empowerment to his service as a lending manager for the Northern California Small Business Development Center Finance Center. And as the leader of, you've heard me talk about the Inclusivity Project, I've got the lead visionary with me tonight to talk about the Inclusivity Project. I'm so excited to have him with us. So as a leader of the Inclusivity Project, where he provides access to capital and mentorship to entrepreneurs with an emphasis on supporting the Black business community. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I really am excited to have you on the show tonight.
Glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me, Margaret.
Absolutely. Chris, I am thrilled and want to learn more about your vision for the Inclusivity Project within the Small Business Development Center. This is the first of its kind. This is a whole new venture. So tell us, what is the Inclusivity Project all about?
Sure. Thank you again for inviting me and giving me a platform and a voice to your listeners to share this with. That's one of the big things about this Inclusivity Project is there's information and tools and resources that I personally have seen and experienced and heard that have escaped the Black and African American community and the Black and African American entrepreneur. So in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in the first 2 months, taking out nearly 41% of the 1 million Black-owned businesses in the country. So let me say that again. And at the beginning of the year of 2020, there were more than a million Black-owned businesses. Within 2 months, from February to the beginning of April, more than 440,000 of those businesses shut their doors for good. And so if we just pause for a second and look at that and think about that impact across this country, you lose 440,000 businesses. You don't know how many jobs were lost, how many families that impacted, and the quality of life for kids because their mom and dad may have lost their job. At that point, it was a call to action for the SBDC to get engaged, to be a leader, and to be able to take to the Black and African American community the Inclusivity Project. Because for many times, Blacks and African Americans, we've been overlooked, left out, and forgotten. And the Inclusivity Project gives us a platform to be able to go into the Black community and be able to create that 22nd century Black entrepreneur. So that's the Inclusivity Project. We really have put some matrix there. We didn't just want to throw something out there and say we're going to do some good in the Black and African American community. So we have some accountability and we've put it out there and we're challenging the Black and African American community. So there's four matrix that we're going to challenge ourselves to meet. One is we want to bring in 1,000 Black or African American entrepreneurs into the SBDC ecosystem. Two, we want to connect them to $100 million in capital infusion. And basically, that's capital to either start a business or to grow or expand an existing business. The third matrix that we're going to hold ourselves accountable to is we want to start 100 Black-owned businesses. And the big piece that's exciting to me and near and dear to my heart because I grew up in a house of all women. My dad passed away in a boat accident that he and I had, and he saved me, and that left me as the man of the house with my mom, my aunt, my three nieces, and my sister. And so this fourth key matrix is so important to me because of those 100 Black businesses that we start, we want to see 50% of them to be women, Black women-owned businesses. So that's what we're doing. We're starting here. The birthplace is in Northern California. It's a statewide program. We're pushing for it to be a national program because this is something that should be made available across this entire country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So before we go to a commercial break, so how is this being kicked off? So is it, what do people need to do to get connected?
Sure, that's great. Yeah, we've set up a dedicated website. We have a dedicated call-in number as well. So if someone wants to go to the website, you just go to theinclusivityproject.com, and that's the website. You can learn about it, learn about the team, learn about the partners and advisors that we have on there. And then if someone wants to call in and get connected and get more information, they can call into 833-ASK-ASK. KSBDC. So that's how folks can get more information.
SBDC, and that's asksbdc.com.
No, that's just the call-in number. So if they're going to go to the website, that's the inclusivityproject.com. If you want to call in and speak to someone, you would call the 833-ASK-SBDC. And there is also the asksbdc.com. But what we want to do is we want to streamline everything. There's no confusion. No one gets lost in the shuffle, right. Gets sent to a different place. So the main two ways would be that inclusivityproject.com or 833-ASK-SBDC. SBDC and give us a call.
Fantastic, fantastic. Chris, we've got about 2 minutes before we have to go to a commercial break. And I think that this is fantastic. What kind of impact do you think this is going to have on Black enterprise in Northern California?
Well, here's the first thing that I'm really pushing for when you ask for my vision. We know that there are institutional and systemic barriers when African American and Blacks go to start a business that limit the access to resources, and specifically capital, right? And so we started having conversations with some financial institutions to really look at the underwriting guidelines and the criteria. You have to look at the African American and Black community and entrepreneurs a little bit differently than you have to look at some of our others, non-African American and Blacks. We sometimes find ourselves challenged to have the financial resources to start our own business enterprise if we want to. And so I think now that that's a huge impact, because now we're starting to get folks around the table and say, you're absolutely right. Now is the time. The spotlight is here. Let's look at creating a vehicle that Black and African American entrepreneurs can have the support that they need to get the access to the capital. And that's where this inclusivity project comes in.
Fantastic. I got to go to a commercial break. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business and finance leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. My producer's got some smooth grooves coming into this show. I love his eclectic music each week. He really brings us in nicely. So we're talking about Black enterprise. We're talking about access to capital. And for Blacks, there's this disparity. So when I look at the data, I look at the numbers, and I see this disparity in the ability for Black business owners to get a substantial or significant access to capital to be able to build and grow their businesses. And of course, COVID-19 has really put a damper on the country, the world, right? So now we have this other challenge that we have to face and deal with. And so we're talking to Chris Horton, who is the manager, director of the Northern California, really first of its kind, the Inclusivity Project. To support and help Black-owned businesses, African-American businesses, to build back those losses, that 41% loss that he spoke about in our first segment. Chris, I have to ask this question. I have to ask the tough questions. And you were talking about in our first segment that you have to look at the underwriting. You have to look at really, you know, what banks are looking at to fund someone. But we have to talk about the Blackness, and there is a disparity. And so how are you going to address maybe closing that gap between maybe building relationships with the banks and educating and supporting what any deficits that Black business owners might have, but there's but still we have to face this reality that there is some level of inequities. So how are you addressing that, and how are you looking to address that?
Well, that's a great question, and you know, I am as smart as I am, and I know what I know, right? And so what you do, and my approach to that is having a think tank of folks that are smarter than I am and know more than I know. and folks that have been around longer than I have and been fighting this fight longer than I have as well. And so it's going to take a village to really come together, find a strategic approach, you know, maybe having some elected officials, some community leaders like pastors and pastors associations, you know, entities like urban financial entities like the NAACP, getting all of these folks and organizations together to be able to affect change or additions to in order to be able to address some of the disparities. I think that's what it's going to take. I think we have some folks in legislation at the state level and at the federal level that have voices and have a desire to see some change as well. So I think the approach that we have thus far is really, you know, who needs to be at that think tank table. And then what is it that needs to be addressed that is the white elephant in the room that we know we need to address and we can't ignore, we can't walk around, and we can't get around it. And so I think that's going to be some of the work, the long-term work, because, you know, what's been here for decades isn't going to turn around in a very short period of time.
Right, right. Absolutely. And I'd have to agree with you. I was on a call last year. There's been a lot of safe space calls, a lot of bringing people together and to really have these open dialogues. And I think it's healthy. I think there's a lot of healthy dialogue surrounding change in the inequities, creating more of that balance that I'd love to see happen in this country. And one of the things that I just said today, you know, if we as a Black nation community can get breakthroughs in some of these areas, then it impacts other minority groups that it levels a playing field for them as well. And on one of these calls, the speaker stated and said, the systemic issues in this country, the system itself is not broken. The system was designed in a particular way and it's not broken. So since the system is not broken, it's working exactly the way that it should work, then the question becomes redesigning or reimagining the system. And so are we going to see that redesigning, that reimagining in the financial system so that way there is that level playing field that businesses can truly be built back in various industries, not just the majority. You know, we see a lot of African American businesses in food industry and healthcare and things like that. But I'd love to see more technology, more mm-hmm. engineering. So what's your response to that to see those sorts of balances?
Sure. You know, and I would say to that is we are definitely on in agreement in the sense you and I are in agreement that, you know, those sort of systemic issues need to be addressed. Today, I don't have that answer of what that's going to look like. I think what we need to do is, you know, talk to legislators, regulators, executives, organizations that have the advantages of the system and figure out how are African American and Blacks included in that? How do we, like you say, how do we redefine it? How do we restructure it? And if it can't be redesigned or restructured, then how do we find those that are willing to make that change by creating our own then? How do we drive our own system? That's one of the things that is part of my vision here with the Inclusivity Project is, you know, how do we become our own financial institution? How do we become a CDFI, Certified Development Financial Institution, to be able to have a underwriting guidelines and a persona that we can lend to that is Black and African American? So that's what my vision is today. That hadn't been in the early stages of our strategic planning to set that up and address that. we have bought on board some representation that can help us in addressing those and looking through it. But the initial focus right now, presently today, is to let the Black and African American community know that this inclusivity project is here, and it's here to serve them, and it's here to provide access to, like I said, tools, resources, and services that they had not known or had been exposed to.
Right. My last question before we have to go to a commercial break, we've got like maybe 30 seconds here. Wells Fargo has said they are going to commit to $50 million investing in Black banks. What's your response to that? Are we going to see more of this sort of commitment?
My presumption is yes. The time is now. Society has spoken. Black and white, that something needs to be done. So yes, I would say my presumption would be yes, we're going to see more following suit with Wells Fargo.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris, for coming on the show. You're listening to Margaret Jackson on AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge, Bay Area's business and finance leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Money 2.0, Business on the Edge. If you missed out on our first two segments, Chris Gordon was with us from the Northern California Small Business Development Center, talking about the inclusivity project. I am very excited about this one of a kind, or this new vision inside a small business development center. And Chris is absolutely phenomenal. If you want to learn more about the inclusivity project, please go to the Inclusivity Project, theinclusivityproject.com, and you can gather more information about the project and what's coming to support African-American businesses and just creating that level playing field for Black businesses. So excited about that. But we've got to move on, and we have another guest who is just as formidable and fantastic. And I'm so glad that she has had an opportunity to come on the show. We could get her on. And this is Titi Akile. She is a thought leader in the local Community Development Financial Institute, also known as CDFIs, her ecosystem, who works with underserved businesses to help them navigate access to capital. She is the director of lending and consulting at Working Solutions, a lending financial institution in the Silicon Valley Bay Area. Titi, thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Margaret. I'm excited to be here with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to get my first question in before we're pushed to a commercial break. This segment, it gets a little short, but you're supporting underserved businesses in your community. What does that mean? Can you kind of spell that out for our listeners?
Yeah, thank you. So we serve the nine Bay Area counties, and we provide loans for $5,000 to $50,000, and we prioritize three key categories of groups: women-owned businesses, people of color, as well as low-income businesses. And so we understand that those are typically been marginalized, and more so, even more, we continue to see when the Blacks and Latino businesses on the increase of this marginalization is really tied to historic systemic injustice around financial access to capital.
Wow. So we've got about a minute before we go to a commercial break. So describe to us what kind of, when you go in and support a women-owned business or a Black-owned business, and they're able to get that funding, what kind of hope does it give them for their business?
Oh, that's incredible. I mean, I have so many quotes and emails of just like the sense of confidence. One of the key things is our team is very focused on making sure everybody that walks through our door, whether they get the capital right away or not, is that they have a sense of hope. They have a sense of a light at the end of the tunnel. They have a sense of a pathway. And that is so important. It's that helping people shift from that place of rejection to a place of hope a place of understanding that there is a pathway that they can take to really get access to this capital eventually. And I can't tell you just so many, like over the years of clients that we've worked with, and we have so many repeat customers that come back to us just because of knowing that there is, we bring the heart to the finance piece. We know
Absolutely. I'm going to stop you right there. We're going to come back to you. I got to go to a commercial break. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business and finance leader.
Get ready. Business on the Edge is taking you out of the studio walls with the Small Business Concierge Magazine. You've been waiting, looking for it. Now it's here. Business expert contributors, small business concierge, STEAM, local events, YE 2.0, the young entrepreneur, women in business centerfold, small business science lab, bridging the gap, the bottom line. Now here's Silicon Valley's number one business radio personality, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Small Business Concierge segment of the show. As you heard, our commercial is out. Our new commercial is out. I'm so excited about that. So our commercial is we're producing a catalog. So the Small Business Concierge catalog is going to launch here relatively soon. If you want to participate in that catalog, if you're familiar with the old Sears and Roebuck catalog, this is what we are producing, and we're excited about it. We're looking for our first 100 businesses that want to participate, small businesses that want to participate in putting their business in this catalog. And what's great about it is that you will be able to have hyperlinks point of sale. So we're excited about it, and then we're going to launch an Indiegogo campaign to broaden the scope, if you will, throughout the United States. And so we're excited. So go out to our website, smallbusinessconcierge.biz. Our brand new website has been refreshed, and it looks fantastic. We're still doing a little bit of tweaking, but it is up and it is stylish, and I am really pleased at what we're unfolding here. If you're just tuning in, we have TT Akile here with us from Working Solutions, a CDFI. If you are not familiar with a CDFI, they are the community's partner for finance, Community Development Financial Institution. And so, TT, let's talk a little bit. We're in Black History Month, and I want to talk about financing Black businesses, Black women in businesses, men in business, youth in business. What would you say, and you're in a financial institute, you're a director here in lending, what are some of the pitfalls that you see even in a CDFI that Black business owners face that they need to resolve something? Or what would you say the top three problems are that you see that are consistent, that if you could solve them, this is what you would solve?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for asking, Margaret. So I would say one is having capacity building, and I'll break it down. Another is credits, you know, or policies that are just inequities in the policies, like lending policies. And then just cultural competence around just how we communicate and work with people of color and Black in the community in general. And so I, in the time I've been with the organization, one of the things I've appreciated is the growth, you know, process that the organization has gone through, and at least taking through that lens, is that really first identifying that we needed to bring in more Black employees into the team to really reflect the community that we want to serve, and specifically also really people that have a heart to really serve the community well, and not to just patronize in ways, but really to lift and empower people. So that was the first shift that I believe it's important in a financial institution, have people that truly represent the community that you want to serve. The second is looking at the policy. So everybody says, yeah, we want to do $1 million in lending. But then at the end of the day, you get people to the pipeline. All you do is get frustrated clients that come through the process and they really can't get the capital that they need. So what are the obstacles? Like, what can we remove the barriers in our policy? And I took about 3-6 months to just dive into our policy and say, we've got to take this out. You know, and things like, you know, inequities around some credit, you know, policies, like you, because you had an incident in your credit history, now you get penalized rather than rehabilitated, you know, or like you want to start up a business and you're required to put this 20% down because that's what the SBA requires, but then you don't come from a family of rich uncles that can give you 20%, you know, write a check of 20K for you, you know, so things like that that really that's been historically in just financial institutions and lending policies of just general innovations for financial institutions. How can we plug those things away as like inequities that hinder Black community? And then the last is really looking at, you know, our capacity building. How much vested, how we vested to really support how we develop the people so that they are truly ready to take this capital. And we started a series of two key series. One is capital readiness, where we look at help people look at the mindset, help them look at their, you know, what are the documents that they need, and then what are the specific things that lenders look at to actually approve you, you know, and. And the last is this empowerment of just like, what are the general resources that you need to be aware of holistically, just about running a business that would help you strengthen your business, like, you know, having a CPA that would give tax strategy. So we started pulling different people we know in the network and taking them on, you know, presentations with, you know, chambers, with churches, you know, so that really we can infiltrate the community with knowledge. Because when you have knowledge, you have power. When you know what your rights are, you can step into a place and be confident about it. So that's really where I kind of think we should start from.
That was so much fantastic information, capacity building, lending policies and cultural competencies, reflecting the community, which is important. Exactly. I am thrilled to hear you just kind of share some of these obstacles that are hindering businesses. So there needs to be some policy reform. Are there, and if you want more information about Working Solutions, go to workingsolutions.org, and you'll certainly see TT there on the website and some of the events they have coming up. So this is absolutely phenomenal. And I've got maybe a minute before I've got to go to a commercial break, TT. But As things move forward, we've got COVID-19, we've got all of these different things going on. Is there something that you're offering right now to businesses that are supporting these African American businesses with COVID-19 as it's attacked everyone, right, in their businesses and everything?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we are offering a rate of 5% recovery loan program, 5% with discounted closing fees, and that really is for existing businesses that have their businesses have suffered, you know, a decline in revenue where the sales has gone down, and they're really making every attempt to keep the doors open, but they need help to continue to maybe pivot, make changes, add some new entities. So yeah, I would recommend that to check out our website.
Okay, I've got to go. AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson.
For more information on the Small Business Concierge magazine or to invite Margaret Jackson to speak, go to smallbusinessconcierge.biz. That's smallbusinessconcierge.biz.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Money 2.0, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. Oh, wow. I love all of the bumper music tonight. It's just so relaxing. So if you didn't tune in to today's show, and you're just getting to us, I get it. But you really have to give the podcast on this. It was fantastic. I love what our guests shared tonight. So we're going to do a quick recap. Chris Horton, at the top of our show, talked about the Inclusivity Project with the Northern California Small Business Development Center. Absolutely phenomenal. First of its kind within the Small Business Development Center community. The Small Business Development Centers are throughout the United States. If you want to find out where your Small Business Development Center is at, go to americassbdc.com and you can locate your SBDC from that website throughout the country. And so, excuse me, americassbdc.org, sbdc.org. You can get connected to your local SBDC. And so this inclusivity project is, it's a must have. And quite frankly, it's a must have throughout the United States to bring forward Black enterprise. We are better united than a divided nation. If there's five nations within the nation, there should be a level playing field for all nations. We're better and stronger together. You know, if we're divided, we're easily conquered. Divide and conquer, right? And we have to get to a place in this country where we are united with all of the diversity and all of the differences, that we're united and we are the strongest nation on the planet. I am a proud American, and I am proud to be part of the Inclusivity Project. I am part of this team with Chris Horton. I'm looking forward to playing my role in part to benefit our African-American businesses. If you want to know more about this project and how you can get connected, how you can sign up as a Black business owner, go to theinclusivityproject.com and you can sign up and get moving towards your next level of business success. And then we rounded it out with TT Akile from Working Solutions, a CDFI, a community development financial institution that supports women in business, people of color, low-income businesses that have that just cannot compete well in traditional lending for them to be able to get the access to capital that they need to build their businesses. And I loved what she talked about in terms of the three things that really need to change within the lending institution, the capacity building, lending policies. Lending policies was really interesting because those are the little foxes that really spoil the wine, right? That you have something on your credit 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and it's being held against you rather than, and what she says, instead of rehabilitating. I like that. Rehabilitating, allowing them to rebuild the opportunity to grow and expand as an entrepreneur, and cultural competencies to really reflect the community. Powerful, powerful. And if you want to connect with some of the events that Working Solutions has coming up, you can go to workingsolutions.org. And then they have next week celebrating Black History Month, Black Wealth in America. And that is going to be absolutely interesting, I'm sure. And so if you can connect to their website, workingsolutions.org. And let's be part of the solution. I don't know about you, but fighting and dividing, it has not worked for us in this country. We continue to limit the greatness of this country. Even if you think it's great, it's limited. Anytime you oppress, it's limiting. And so we cannot become as extraordinary as we could if we really would see the benefit of all those that make up the United States of America. So play your role, play nicely. Let's figure it out. And I get it. You're always going to have those that are not on board with that. But let's not let that be the majority. Let that be the minority so we can build, so women can build businesses and the Black community can build businesses and Hispanic community without the inequities and biases and policies changing. The policies have to change, right? There has to be a restructuring, a re-imaging of a country that is actually began and established on immigration and people coming to this, to America. You're listening to Margaret Jackson, AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge, Bay Area's business and leader. Be good to someone out there and stay safe.